Hello and God bless you wherever you're watching this from, whether it's on iTunes, Podomatic, or if you're coming from YouTube and you're passing by the website. Welcome, welcome, God bless you. It's an honor to have you passing by. While you're here, browse through the website. Feel free to view the forums. Feel free to view the website activity at the bottom of the homepage so that you can participate with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, it's truly a blessing to get to know so many of you. It really is. Each and every single day I meet brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the faith, that, you know, are solid, you know, and I learn from you guys. And that's a blessing. I love learning with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And today, what I want to talk about on this brief podcast, is about ensuring that all of our plans are presented to God before anything. We're now headed into a new year, 2016, right? And as we're headed into that new year, and honestly, under the calendar that we're in right now, it says it's the new year, but really, the new year is, I believe, around April time. But that's another day, another topic. As we're entering in the new year, you have a lot of goals. You have a lot of plans. You have a lot of desires that you want to do, right? You know, in Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." I know I'm guilty of it. I'm sure you're guilty of it. But many times we have plans and goals in our minds that we have not presented to God yet. We have desires, we have dreams, we have visions, right? But we haven't taken the time to actually go to God and say, "God, these are my goals, these are my desires, this is what I want to do." And we're missing out a lot on that. We're missing out big time on that, because as Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the follies of fools is deceit." Right? You want to make sure that as you're living here, right? We're in a position that we know that we're in the times, we're in the end times. That doesn't mean that we're going to stop having dreams. That doesn't mean that we're not going to stop having goals that we want to achieve, right? I'm still praying for my goals in 2016 and my dreams. Yes, I understand that the economy could crash at any moment, and I understand that a World War III can break out at any moment, and I understand all of that stuff. Also remember that our parents, if your parents are believers also, during their time believed that it was the end times, yet they still planned. Some of your parents planned to send you to college, even though they knew that the times could come right there and then. Some of your parents prepared by buying you a piece of land so that you can build a house. The point is that as we're preparing for Christ's return spiritually, you also have to use wisdom and prepare for your children's future, right? By teaching them the Bible, teaching them the Word, preparing them spiritually to understand good, to understand bad, so that they can make that wise decision. Because if you only live in the "Jesus is coming this year" moment, and then what happens if he doesn't? According to your timeline, he had to come. Many people said that he was coming in the Shemitah. When the Shemitah didn't happen, they said it's the Jubilees, and it's the other this and the other that. Because man places a timeline in their head of how God has to work. And if God does not work within that timeline, then they get mad at God. God did not tell them that the rapture was going to happen in the Shemitah. Man told them that it was going to happen during the Shemitah. What happens, and I've spoken to hundreds of these people, they write me and they say that they're upset at God. Well, my brother, my sister, and the Lord, you can't be upset at God. God didn't tell you that. Jonathan Kahn told you that. So this thought process of making sure that our plans are ran through Jesus Christ first doesn't just apply to our goals and dreams and visions, but also applies to prophecy, also applies to biblical studies, also applies to any biblical theory out there that declares to you that the end is going to happen in 2012, like the Mayans, or that the end was going to happen with Comet Elenin. Remember those things? Comet Elenin, Y2K. Y2J is the wrestler, Chris Jericho. Y2K, right? Christ is coming when you least expect it. Yes, we'll know the seasons. Yes, we'll know the times. And we believe it's going to happen at any point in time. But while we're prepared for any point in time, let's make sure that we're also preparing for the future by putting our plans and desires before God. And this is not like the prosperity gospel tells you. Well, you'll sit there saying, money cometh to me now. And you know, I confess, I decree, I declare, I confess, I profess, I lasso it up in heaven and pull it down with my magical lasso. As if I'm some sort of a Christian cowboy that I can pull that type of a stunt. It doesn't work that way. You have to submit your thoughts and desires before God. Because many times our thoughts and desires are selfish. And they're not biblical. You know, in Deuteronomy 6 on 4, there's an awesome verses here that are very important. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities. Very important here, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. You know, one of the important things to do as you prepare for any type of a goal that you want, as you prepare for the plans that are coming your way, many of us have so many things coming our way that we're trying to think of a structure on how to deal with them, right? But as you're doing so, make sure that yes, you may want to achieve this, but before that, prepare your heart. Ask God, God, am I ready for this? Because God, I don't want to be in a position, as it said in Deuteronomy 6 verse 14, that ye shall not go after other gods. In verse 15, it tells us that God is a jealous God. And what happens often is that when you go after your own dreams and visions, you often forget God. You get caught up in the blessing so much that you forget the one who gave the blessing. This usually happens when you're coveting too. How many times are our goals not set up in the way of coveting? In Exodus 20:17, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God tells you not to covet, because when you covet, it is a sin. And in addition to it being a sin, a lot of our dreams and goals are nothing more than coveting. Let's not covet when we have a desire that we want to achieve, a goal that we want to do. I want to lose this amount of weight. I want to do that. Why do I want to lose that weight? Do I want to do it because I want my body to be a temple for God, right? And I want to live healthy for God, or do I want to do it because I want to look good? I want these Puerto Rican 12-pack to turn into a 6-pack, right? What's the reason? What's the reason? You know, in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Ultimately, God knows what's best for you. God knows what's best for you. And so many brothers and sisters are disappointed each year because they planned for one thing and all they got was they planned for an oasis and they got a desert. But little by little, don't they understand that God knows that you want an oasis, and God withholds no good thing from you. But sometimes you have to go through that desert moment for a little bit so that it can prepare you to appreciate that oasis. You know? Sometimes you have to go through a few periods of testing to make sure that you're prepared so that when that blessing does come from God, you don't start worshiping that blessing. You don't start worshiping all of the material things that you've achieved. You don't start worshiping your money. You don't start worshiping all of those things. Or those things take the time that is deserved by God and takes your time and puts it on things that don't belong, you know, in your life. You know, Jesus loves you, man. And I have my goals for 2016. But one of the things that is very important, and I talk to my wife about this, and I talk to my friends about this, and I talk to people that I know about this, is living content. Living content. You know, yesterday, for the glory of God, I was trying to cook a meal for my wife and my daughter. Needless to say, the meal came out horrible. That's a different topic, though. It was horrendous. But I tried, all right? As I was trying to cook the meal, I was worshiping Jesus Christ. I had some Spanish coritos on, you know, Christian coritos. And I started just crying to him out of gratitude for having some butter in the refrigerator, for having some milk in the refrigerator, you know? These little things, don't forget about the little things, you know? Don't forget about the little blessings that God allows you to have. Be content with what you have. I know it's a temptation not to be content, but be content. In all things, be glad with what the little that you have. Yes, you may only have a quarter tank of gas and it's Tuesday. And you don't get paid until Friday. And you're driving on the road going 40 miles an hour because if you go any faster, it's going to take all the gas and you're like, oh man, what am I going to do? I've been there, you know? I am there sometimes. Listen, folks, there's nothing that you're going through that I haven't been there or going through or will go through. So live content, because while you're going through difficult moments, right, and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Listen, take time to be content, for you have two hands. You have legs. You have eyes, right? If you're watching this, you have internet, right? So you're a little better off than somebody else. Be content with everything you have in life. Be content. Be glad. And give the glory to God in the little. And give the glory to God in the much. And give the glory to God when you're living check to check. I know how that is. And give the glory to God when you have a little bit extra. And give the glory to God when you're like, man, I gotta eat them Roman noodles today. Give the glory to God on all things. On all things. If you got Roman noodles, that's fine. Put some adobo in it, some sazon, get some hot dogs, cook them up, put them in there, and you make yourself a little banquet. What I'm trying to share with you is that we're gonna go through moments that are difficult as believers. And that may spark in us some dreams and goals and visions. But as you move forward in life, in any aspect, put all of these decision makings, put all of these goals, put all of these visions and dreams and all it to God. And let Him filter it. Let Him decipher it. Let Him make the decision for you. And you seek the kingdom of God. And allow all of the rest of the things to be added versus seeking all of the rest of the things and let the kingdom of God be added. No, God first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. He withholds no good thing from you, the Bible says. He knows your needs. He knows. Seek Him, for He loves you. God bless you, my family. I love you very much. Thank you for listening to this brief little talk with you. This is more of a talk between me and you. If you wish to talk a little bit more, visit our website, www.tallyforgod.com or tfgministries.com. And God bless you. Goodbye.
Have you not known, or have you not heard, that God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He's not weary. He gives power and strength to those who are weak. And those who wait upon Him, He shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. His arms are open. Jesus is here. of God. The infallible Word of God. That means His Word cannot fail. Once His precious Word is spoken, it cannot return unto Him void. Together, we are going to stand on His promises for your healing today.
His arms are open. The Prince of Peace is here to calm your raging storm. Your sails are torn and your anchor is gone. His arms are open and He is here.
Wherever you are right now, you may be in a car, you may be sitting in front of your computer. He is right where you are. All you have to do is just call to Him. You don't even have to have an audible voice, because He knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows when that little sparrow falls to the ground. How much more, oh, how much more will He know when we need Him?
His arms are open and He is here. He's calling you back home. He'll provide and protect you. Never leave you alone. His arms are open and He is here.
Oh, seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul.
Believe His word.
Deuteronomy 4:29 says just that. Seek the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul. And you know what? You will find Him. Do you need a healing today? Maybe a spiritual, mental, physical, emotional healing? You know what He says in His word? Hebrews 4:16, that we can come boldly to His throne of grace for help in time of need. Oh, that we would just seek Him.
His arms are open and Jesus is here. Come and sit at His feet. He'll bring rest to your weary soul. He'll restore you and make you whole. His arms are open and He is here. He is here for you.
You know what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28? Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.